21st Century Movements, Wednesday, May 7th, 7:15 p.m. at Portland State University. The speakers for this event will be Steve Early, author of Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress, journalist Arun Gupta, founder of The Independent and the Occupied Wall Street Journal, and Joanna Brenner, retired PSU faculty member who writes on feminist theory and politics. Again, that's Wednesday, May 7th at Portland State University's Smith Center, room 238 at 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
What does it mean to be called crazy in a crazy world? Listen to Madness Radio, Voices and Visions from Outside Mental Health, sponsored by peer-run support communities Freedom Center, The Icarus Project, and Portland Hearing Voices. Madness Radio can be heard on FM stations on the Pacifica Radio Network and is online at kboo.fm/madnessradio. Welcome to Madness Radio. This is your host, Will Hall. Today, my guest is Nev Jones. Nev is a psychiatric anthropology interdisciplinary researcher. She's a postdoctorate fellow at Stanford University and the founder of Chicago Hearing Voices and co-director of the Lived Experience Research Network. Nev has been diagnosed with schizophrenia and lives with altered states experiences that would traditionally be called psychosis. So welcome to Madness Radio, Nev Jones.
Thanks, Will. It's great to be here.
Yes, and we were struggling with your bio because so much of your work, and I think that's one of the things that is so interesting about your work, is really questioning the language that we use for these experiences and how they don't just fit into simple boxes, that we can't really call these things altered states or psychosis or voices or unusual beliefs, that actually there's a whole range of diversity for each person. And so fitting it into a little soundbite or a little one or two word description doesn't quite work.
Absolutely. I think the language that we have at our disposal to describe and express these types of experiences is extremely impoverished.
So if somebody says that they live with experiences that are altered states and traditionally be called psychosis, that's kind of a mouthful. But actually, for me, it's the beginning of a conversation with people, of a dialogue with people. And you and I also have a lot of parallels with our own process around these experiences. And that's one of the reasons I am so interested in having you on the show today. And both of us grew up with family members who have extreme experiences that got diagnosed as psychosis. Is that right? I mean, my father and also your mother, is that right?
Right. So I think for much of my childhood and certainly my adolescence, I had this opportunity to kind of really think about what madness and psychosis and a lot of these experiences are and what they mean with respect to another person, with respect to my mother, and really thinking about that from the outside. And then it was only later, of course, that I experienced psychosis or these types of experiences myself. And I think that's made me very aware also of the differences between viewing psychosis or madness from the outside versus from the inside.
And so what was it like for your mother? What was it like living with her and growing up with her?
Well, in my case, it's sort of multi-layered in an even more intense way than just my mother, because her first husband, and she got married when she was very young, she was 17, and her first husband was actually a philosophy graduate student who's older than her, had a very serious psychotic break, ended up institutionalized as far as we know for decades, now lives in a group home. And so very, very early on, I remember her telling my brother and I stories about him. So there was this sort of image of the mad philosopher who we'd never met. And he was also a frightening figure in my early childhood because he'd been very violent and had tried to kill my mother. And then she slowly slipped into her own version of madness or altered states. And I think, you know, his trajectory was different to her trajectory, and both of them very different to mine. So in my mother's case, she went a very long time without actually being formally treated within the psychiatric system. She's never taken antipsychotics outside of periods of inpatient hospitalization, but she has very severe ongoing symptoms that really are not in any way episodic.
I certainly have talked to many people who will say, yes, I was involuntarily hospitalized and I'm grateful for it. And they'll focus on the positive things that came out of that experience. It got them off of the street. It interrupted a very, very dangerous state that they were in. It helped them to feel safe in their lives. And when I talk with them further, you know, there may be parts of their involuntary hospitalization that were traumatic and were violent, but for them, they feel that it was worth it. It was just part of what it took for them to get some help. And I think it's really important for us to respect that diversity, as you're saying, and realize that this issue is very complicated. The world that I would like to live in is that somehow we can provide this help and support or connect with people in some way that's going to really avoid harming them. Nev, at what point did you start to have your own experiences with altered states that might get called psychosis?
I certainly, as soon as things started to change perceptually and in other ways for me, I did relatively quickly start to worry because of my mother, because of her experiences, and because of what I'd witnessed. And so I do think that I, A, actively sought help, and B, did so very, very quickly compared to people who may not have grown up in a context where they'd already been exposed to these sorts of experiences. I think especially that early period sort of leading up to what would be considered more of a full-blown break can be in some sense even more difficult to describe than more overt, obvious symptoms or experiences. And the world in very subtle and sort of diffuse ways started to look and feel different to me. It was as if something had changed and I could not put my finger on what it was. I noticed that my imagination in a certain way started to become more powerful. So the more I started to worry that things looked different, or if I started to think about an object, well, that looks a little bit like a snake, or it looks like that house in the distance is on fire, then more and more over time, it was like by imagining something in a certain way that started to become more and more real. And I think that's a way that imagination doesn't normally operate, certainly for me, that had not been the case in the past. So it was like mental processes that normally one would have more control over, I would initially have control over, and then that would start to dissolve or slide away.
What was happening in your life at that time? I mean, I know being in college is often really stressful for a lot of us. And were there things that you were responding to when you started to go into this slightly different experience of the world?
I don't think so. I mean, so it was actually, you know, my first year in a PhD program in philosophy. So it was a lot of intense readings of the philosophical literature, a lot of which, if we, you know, really think about it, is pretty out there in terms of common sense beliefs. A lot of what philosophers have historically proposed is sort of at odds with a lot of everyday assumptions. So I was very immersed in that intellectually. I'm not sure, you know, how directly connected that was, but that was the context. Otherwise, in terms of my personal life, there were the same ongoing issues with my mother, but it had already been that way for so many years that it wasn't like a new stressor.
You are listening to Madness Radio here on KBOO Portland, your community radio station, where I'm Ani and I'm here with Liz.
Hi, Ani.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Ani.
So you are listening to KBOO because you care. You care about your community. You care about your health. You care about your environment. And right now we're asking you to care enough to actually contribute a little of your hard-earned money to keep us on the air, keep us going strong, and keep us together in community. That number is 877-500-5233. 866. It is the number to call to join us, to become an active participant, a supporting member of KBOO Community Radio. It's more than just a donation to some nameless charity. It is, in fact, putting your money to work for your community, becoming a member of this membership organization, wherein once you do that, you have the right to vote for the board of directors. You have the right to serve on advisory and governing committees. You have the right to run for the board of directors and actually steer the good ship KBOO. It all starts with your membership, and that starts with your call right now, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm.
You know, Madness Radio is a really, really interesting program, and it's also a very unique program, even for KBOO, where we specialize in unique programs, because we give a voice to people for whom the rest of society has marginalized. We give a voice to people who are dealing with mental illness and mental problems of various kinds, and that's just, these are voices you're not going to hear anywhere else. We know you appreciate this unique perspective because you're listening to it right now, but we can't tell you how much you value it. That's something only you can decide. So decide, figure out, what does this programming mean to you in dollars and cents, and then pick up the phone at 877-500-5266. That number is good anywhere in the continental U.S. It's toll-free, or go to our website from anywhere on planet Earth at kboo.fm. Is it worth $5 a month to become a sustaining member at $60 a year? Is it worth $7.50 a month to become a sustaining member at $90 a year, which is our average membership value? We can't decide that for you. Only you can do that. But we know that this programming matters to you. So take a moment, show your support, help us reach our goal of $200 for this program by calling 877-500-5266. Thanks to Rick, who renewed his membership in Northeast Portland, Jeremy, who renewed his membership from Southeast Portland, Sherry, who renewed her membership from Northeast Portland, and Matthew, who renewed his membership in Southeast Portland. We've been hearing a lot from Portlanders today, and that's great, but you know, our signal goes all over the metro area, also into Hood River and down in Corvallis. Let's hear from Corvallis. Let's hear from Philomath. Let's hear from Hood River. Let's hear from Aloha and Tigard and Beaverton. So pick up that phone right now, 877-500-5266. Show your support for Madness Radio, for community radio, and back to the program.
And so your imagination starts to take on a different quality, and things are start to being a little bit out of control, and something is going on in the world that's different. You can't quite put your finger on it. And then what happened?
Then I had experiences that were sort of even more out of my control. So, for example, I would look at objects, and I felt like when I looked at objects, hard surfaces, walls, that by looking at them, I was decomposing them into tiny particles. And that became, like I said, more reflexive and immediate and less controllable. And so was actually pretty alarming to me. Other experiences were this sort of objectification of my thoughts, by which I mean my thoughts started to seem more and more like objects, things that existed apart from me that I didn't have control over. And at times then they could take on what I would say quasi-auditory qualities that I don't think maps onto sort of a more mainstream idea of what voices are like.
What was that like for the thoughts to take on an object quality that had an auditory dimension?
So part of what was so confusing and alarming to me is that I couldn't express or communicate what it was like even to myself. They were experiences that defied boundaries between, for example, sort of perception and thought and imagination. So I couldn't tell whether I was imagining that things had a sound, whether I was directly perceiving them as having a sound. And in a way, that blurring of boundaries was what alarmed me and unnerved me the most. I actually wanted them to conform to some sort of recognizable experience that had already been described by other people.
And at what point did it start to really impair your going to school and taking care of yourself and your normal day-to-day life?
I was sharing a lot of these experiences with friends of mine who were also graduate students in the same program, and one of them reported these experiences to the faculty member who was my advisor, and she basically had me involuntarily suspended from my program immediately, with no forewarning.
Were you showing up for classes? Were you doing your work? Were you doing anything disruptive, or were you not performing as a student?
I went through periods of what, I guess in retrospect, it's probably the easiest to describe as mutism, where I was just unable to talk. And in some cases, that did get me in trouble because I would have, let's say, an appointment with a faculty member and I was completely unable to speak at all. So I think that may have been perceived as alarming by some faculty, but I wasn't doing anything disruptive in the sense of acting out behaviorally or causing problems, fighting with people, that sort of thing.
But as soon as this faculty member heard about these experiences that you were having, you were involuntarily suspended from school.
Right. And at one point I was threatened that if I showed up at school, I would be escorted off campus grounds by a security guard. But I was so confused by what was going on. I didn't understand the justification for that. So I went into school and went to my advisor's office, and I had had a very close relationship with her prior to that. And she just refused to talk to me at all, just closed the door as I was standing there crying. So it was very, very actually traumatic to me, I think, to be treated that way by somebody who up until that point I'd really trusted, and somebody who in her own work as a feminist philosopher had actually written pretty extensively about issues of disability and madness and gender and oppression.
So these altered states experiences were really ongoing for you, and they caused this real difficulty with school. But then somehow you learned to manage them, or they got easier, or you were learning to live with them, because you did go on to have a very successful academic career, including now your postdoctoral fellowship at Stanford.
In a lot of ways, I was extremely unlucky in terms of some of the experiences I've had of discrimination and prejudice outside of the mental health system, and then really lucky within the mental health system. So I've certainly had, you know, really bad experiences, like most people. But in terms of the main treatment program I was involved with and my primary therapist, very, very incredibly supportive environment. And I think my therapist in particular, she really believed in me, and I really sort of credit her to a very large degree with keeping me on track to the point where eventually I could, you know, go back to graduate school.
And Nev, what was the role of medications in this?
So I was, you know, relatively immediately put on antipsychotics, initially a low dose. I think over about a 3 or 4 year period, I probably cycled through maybe 10 or 11 different antipsychotics, both newer and older ones. And, you know, I don't think that at any point they actually really helped me in a substantive way. It's very difficult to figure out when I think medications might be maybe having some small positive impact, because at any given time, you can't compare it to not being on them. But overall, I think that the impact was extremely minimal. And after, you know, 3 or 4 years, I pretty much just discontinued taking them completely.
And in your life today, even as a successful scholar and the work that you're doing, you're still living with some of these experiences. Can you tell us about the things that you're living with today?
So I still think that, to me, these very, you know, attenuated or weakened boundaries between my own thoughts and other people's thoughts, and the sense that people can access my thoughts directly so much of the time, is to me really the most sort of impairing or disabling aspect of what I continue to experience. So that is ongoing. And I think certainly developed strategies for dealing with that.
Can you?
And you are listening to Madness Radio here on KBOO Portland, your community radio station, where we actually rely on you to connect us with the community, to keep us connected to the community, to support us with a little of your hard-earned money to make sure that we stay strong and on the air together. 877-500-5266. This is actually, it's an act of mutual aid, as we are here to support so many communities that otherwise would not have a voice, that wouldn't have the platform, that wouldn't have access to the microphone. We are here, in fact, to open our doors to people who are left out of mainstream media, whose stories really, the people that that sponsor commercial and corporate radio and television, they don't care so much about these stories. They care about selling you the next car and the tube of toothpaste and all of that. That's not what we do. We are here specifically to provide the microphone and access to people who need to use it to tell our stories, to inform each other, so that we can hear from many perspectives about the many critical issues that we face in our world today. And you are an important part of this picture, because it's you that we come to support us, to fund us, to keep us on the air, to keep the bills paid and the wolves away from the door. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Or you can drop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue on your way to, oh, I don't know, just about anywhere in central Portland. And perhaps you're driving through the area and you're thinking, I listen to them, but I don't really know. What do they do? What do they do down there? What do they do with my money? Well, come on in and we will show you exactly what we do with your money. We'll show you the equipment that is bought. We will show you how radio is made. You can do it at 20 Southeast 8th. Or you can come in, call in at 877-500-5266.
That's right, Ani. You know, and as we mentioned before, Madness Radio is unique even for a KBOO programming lineup, because we do give voice to folks who are otherwise completely marginalized and are disempowered by society. And we give them a place to share their perspectives. And, you know, simply because somebody has mental illness or is coping with mental issues of one kind or another does not mean that their voice is any less valid, or that they don't have a wisdom and a perspective on it that you wouldn't have, because they're experiencing it and hopefully you are not. So, you know, that's a really important perspective to maintain. We try to offer this diversity of perspectives in all of our public affairs programming. Likewise, with the eclectic nature of our music selections, you know, we offer everything that you could possibly imagine. It's here if you look for it. And this is a community radio station, so we need community support. And now's the time to show your support for this station. Pick up the phone and call 1-877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. I want to mention that if you become a member at the $75 level or higher, Friends of Trees will plant a tree in your honor, in addition to whatever regular thank you gift you would like to receive for $75 or more. That's a great way to create an enduring legacy of what KBOO means to you. Think about a tree. It's such a great metaphor for community radio. Now, a tree has deep roots. It sinks into the ground. The canopy grows and spreads and creates extra oxygen for all of us to breathe. So does community radio. We sink our roots deep into the ground here. We've been on the air 46 years now, and growing strong. And we create a diversity of opinions and views and musics that allow people to breathe and grow and change and enjoy. And what is that worth to you? What value do you place on that kind of unique programming? We can't tell you. We can make suggestions, but we can't tell you. We can't say this is worth $60 to you, so pick up the phone. If you think it's worth $60, pick up the phone. If you think it's worth $90, pick up the phone. If you think it's worth an hour's wage per month, so if you make $25 an hour, how about $25 a month? You know, whatever you think this station is worth to you, we need to hear from you right now. 877-500-5266. Ani, we have some restaurants to thank, don't we?
We surely do. We surely do. We want to thank Voodoo Donuts at 22 Southwest 3rd Avenue. We want to thank The Observatory at 8115 Southeast Stark. And we'd like to thank Pizza Fino at 8225 North Denver. And you know, they have contributed to KABU. They have donated food to help keep our volunteers together and fed today. And we want to thank you for keeping us financially fed and together today. Just give us a call at 877-500-5266. Online at kboo.fm. You can contribute in a monthly way from $5 or more on up. Whatever level you would like to contribute, we would thank you and appreciate very, very deeply. I suggest maybe $7 a month. If you contribute $7 a month over the course of a year, it adds up to $84. And that coincidentally is about what it takes to put programming on the air for an hour. So you can sponsor an hour's worth of programming, just $7 a month, each and every month to your community. It supports us all. It's an act of mutual aid. You'll be glad you did, and so will we. Give us a call at 877-500-5266.
Thanks so much.
Can you give us an example of that happening in your life recently and then how you handle it?
You know, at any given time, I might be worried about what a friend thinks about me, worried about what an advisor thinks about me. And as soon as I start to worry about what they're thinking about me, I start to feel like, well, in fact, they're accessing all of my thoughts. They know everything that I'm doing. They know everything that I'm thinking. You know, I can't get rid of that. But what I can do is just sort of try to, I guess, cognitively reframe that experience, self-talk in the sense of this isn't really happening. There's things that I can do to sort of reassure myself. Like if I know the person well enough, I can just ask them directly if this is going on. And usually a negative response on their part is reassuring to me, does sort of diminish the impact of the experience and my anxiety around it.
And one of the threads through what we've been talking about is what it is that your mom went through and goes through also doesn't really fit some of the kind of typical frames that we put around these experiences. And then also what you are going through is also very unique and individual. And so you've developed a real appreciation for the diversity of what we see as madness and how each person has a different personal story and personal relationship. And that has come in a lot to your work now as a scholar and a researcher. Tell us about the Lived Experience Research Network.
As an organization, our focus is really on both bridging advocacy and research, which often, especially in the United States, are really separate worlds, and then also really I think really trying to think about what it means and what sort of difference it makes when people who have direct experience of, you know, the phenomena or conditions or diagnoses in question are actually involved in theorizing them.
So instead of seeing people as informants or objects of study, actually collaborating with them and developing theories about the experiences together rather than just seeing them as a data sample.
Exactly. So that gives them autonomy, not just over sort of expressing their own personal experiences, but in really thinking about the structure and of those experiences and theorizing them in a way that extends beyond their own individual experience, which I think is a really important part of empowerment in a larger sense, not just personal empowerment.
Nev, we are just about out of time. Give us the contact information for you and the Lived Experience Research Network and also Chicago Hearing Voices, which you are one of the founders of.
The easiest way to contact me is via my email address, which is just nev@learnnetwork.org, LearnEtwork.org. Our website is www.learnnetwork.org or LearnEtwork.org.
Nev Jones, thank you for joining us today on Madness Radio.
Thanks, Will.
You've been listening to an interview with Nev Jones. She's an interdisciplinary researcher in psychiatric anthropology doing her postdoctorate fellowship at Stanford University. She's the founder of Chicago Hearing Voices, co-director of the Lived Experience Research Network, and she's diagnosed with schizophrenia and experiences and lives with altered states of consciousness that would be traditionally called psychosis. That's all the time we have on Madness Radio. Thanks for tuning in. you've been listening to Madness Radio, Voices and Visions from Outside Mental Health, co-sponsored by the Icarus Project, Portland Hearing Voices, and Freedom Center. Madness Radio is hosted by Will Hall, and producer is Leah Harris. Madness Radio is based at KBOO in Oregon and can be heard on FM stations on the Pacifica Radio Network. Contact us at radio@madnessradio.net.
And you are tuned to KBOO in Portland, 90.7 FM. It's time now for the Noontime Jamboree.
Come and listen in to the radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Wanna hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring? Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory to share. Turn the lights down low. And listen to the Master's radio. Get in touch with songs of the fathers and mothers and the many friends going on before. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the hallelujah shore. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory.